What's your favorite season? He thought for a moment, and he said, I'd say summer. Summer is OP, which for those of us unfamiliar with gamer lingo, means overpowered. He said, the activities in summer just makes it OP. But then he paused and added, aesthetically, his word, though I like winter, the snow just looks better. And then I asked him, what about spring and fall? And he replied, they're just kind of mid because of all the rain. Mid means they're just okay, mid-tier, nothing special. And that got me thinking about how we all have our favorite seasons of life. There are summer moments when everything is bursting with activity and joy. There are those winter moments when everything is still and quiet, filled with beauty and rest. What about those mid-seasons, the rainy, messy, in-between times that don't seem very exciting? And as we gather today on Thanksgiving Sunday, it's a time to reflect and share our gratitude for those summer seasons in our lives, the moments of blessing and joy when we can clearly see God at work. And our passage today, Psalm 126, begins with that same spirit of thanksgiving. In the psalm, it is part of the series of the Psalms of the Ascents. The people are gathered together, reflecting on a time when God had restored their fortune and filled their mouths with laughter. They were so overwhelmed with joy that even the nations around them recognized it and said, "The Lord has done great things for them," a time of thanksgiving. But the second half of the psalm speaks of those in-between seasons, times of waiting, sowing, and sometimes weeping. The psalmist moves from remembering past joy to praying for future restoration, asking God to do it again, like streams in the Negev. It's a recognition that life is full of different seasons, and our thanksgiving doesn't always come from a place of abundance. Sometimes it comes from trusting in God's promises during seasons of sowing in tears. Today we'll reflect on this psalm together. It teaches us about, next slide. Teaches us about thanksgiving, about petition for future renewal, and the hope and promise of joy that comes from sowing in faith. As we explore this psalm together, we'll also reflect on some of the takeaways from our recent English retreat with anticipation, sowing, and trust. So let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, as we turn our hearts and minds to your word today, we ask that you open our eyes to see the truth, open our ears to hear your voice, and open our hearts to receive the message you have for us. Holy Spirit, would you bring light to us through Scripture so that your word may take root and that we as your church may reap in joy in the seasons to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Verses 1 to 3, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. In these opening verses, the psalmist reflects on the most incredible moment of restoration in the past. The Lord has done something so incredible, so unimaginable. It felt like a dream. Some say this refers to how they were brought back from exile. This experience of God's past faithfulness sets the foundation for the rest of the psalm. This joy is so overwhelming and beyond belief that people burst into laughter and with songs of joy. The people of Israel had been through seasons of loss and exile, but now they were brought back to their homeland, restored. God had brought them back out of captivity and restored their fortunes. And note that their joy wasn't just individual. It was communal, felt by the whole nation. And not just their nation. It was so tangible, so visible, even that the surrounding nations say, the Lord has done great things for them. And then the people of God responded, yes, the Lord has done great things for us. It is true. So let's imagine what it must have felt like to be the Israelites. After years of exile, after seasons of longing, praying, restoration and return happened. They were brought back. It was a dream come true for them. So their laughter and joy is a mix of relief, of gratitude, even disbelief. Think about a time in your life when you experienced such kind of ultimate joy that came probably after a long period of difficulty and waiting. Or a time when you recognize that God has been at work in your life, answering your prayers. Or that moment when He restored to you what had been lost, something you could only dream about. It felt so good, too good to be true. This is the kind of overwhelming joy described in Psalm 127. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I'd like to encourage us to remember, reflect on these moments of restoration in our lives, in our families, and in the life of our congregation. What had been broken and lost, but now God had restored to you? What brought you joy so overwhelming that it felt like a dream? Like the Israelites, these are the moments that we clearly see God at work. Moments that filled us with joy. And for these moments, we offer our thanksgiving to God. We pause, we reflect, and we pray and give thanks and praise Him for these times, for when He had done great things in your life. And it's not just about present blessings. It's also about remembering how God has been faithful to us in the past. So this psalm is an invitation for us to join in and proclaim the Lord has done great things for us, even if we are currently in a season of waiting for what's next. Remembering joy of past restoration gives us hope for the future. Just as the Israelites experienced the return from exile, we've also had moments in our church community together that when we could look back and say, the Lord has done great things for us. Just as the Israelites rejoiced together, we too can cherish the times when we gather together and celebrate together what God has done among us. And so after remembering of God's faithfulness in verses 1-3, the psalmist now moves on to a prayer. He prays this. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. The Negev is a desert region in Israel, known for its arid and dry conditions. Water is scarce, and in certain seasons, when rain comes, streams would flow through the area, bringing life back to the land. So the Negev desert is the image the psalmist has in mind in this prayer. A barren, dry land needing life-giving water. It paints a picture of renewal after a time of waiting, where everything that was dry and lifeless becomes vibrant and flourishing again. And this one-line prayer is an echo to verse 1. This is the psalmist's prayer to God. Restore us, God, as you have done in the past. Bring life and hope to where dryness and despair is before us. So in verse 4, the psalmist turns to a cry to God to do his work again, just as he did in the past. And the psalmist knows that no one but God can send rain to the desert to turn it back to a place of flourishing. The psalm knows that God is the only one who can bring restoration. Like the psalmist, we may have experienced seasons in our lives that feel like the Negev, dry, barren, and lifeless. The times we felt like we were stuck. We were just going through the motions every day, saying the same prayers. We were tired and fatigued, waiting for something to happen, waiting for God to make a change, like bringing streams of water to come and refresh us, bring a change to our circumstances. We ask God to bring renewal to the area of our lives that feels stuck like a dry and lifeless desert. Some of us may even be in that place right now. And it is in this exact situation that the psalmist cries out to God, reminding us that there is hope because God had done it in the past. God can do it now. And God will do it in places and situations as dry as the Negev desert. And in verses 5 and 6, the psalmist says, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. The psalm ends with an agricultural image. It speaks of sowing in sorrow, of planting seeds while weeping. Think about it. Sowing seeds in itself is in fact an act of faith. You scatter the seeds. You don't know for certain what the outcome will be. The ground, you don't know if it's ready for the seeds. The weather is unpredictable, and the labor exhausting. And yet the psalmist reminds the listeners that those who sow in tears will reap with joy. There will be a harvest, and it will come with songs of joy. And know that this promise doesn't deny the reality of weeping. Tears are real. Weeping is real. But we are promised that God is at work. He's working through us, even in moments of sorrow. The seeds that we plant in faith, even when it's uncertain, when it's hard at times, will bring forth a joyful harvest in God's time. As we think about Thanksgiving, we often, quite rightly, associate with joy and abundance. But this psalm here reminds us that Thanksgiving isn't just for times of plenty. For those times when we are still sowing, when we're still waiting for the harvest, Thanksgiving has its place too. Thanksgiving brings us to this place of reassurance that God is forever faithful, even when we are in the middle of sowing. When it's done in tears, we continue to sow with confidence that harvest will come. And that's why the psalmist can reflect on the joy of past restoration and remember that God will bring them through hard seasons and give them harvest of joy. The moments of God's past faithfulness is where our hope lies. And so at our retreat 2 weeks ago, many of us shared the feeling that we are in a season of sowing, of planting seeds, of early spring, where the ground is thawing and full bloom isn't here yet. At the retreat, we talked about discernment, anticipation, and waiting for what God will do next for us. In a time of discernment, knowing that God had begun a good work, but not seeing the full picture yet, this is what this psalm tells us about this experience of anticipation. Although harvest is not visible, we trust that the seeds we are planting will one day produce a harvest. And as I was preparing the sermon this week, I had been thinking a lot about our move to Kids House too. In a couple of months, our congregation will be moving to Kids House. And as I mentioned, there has been a mix of emotions for us. There's excitement, anticipation for what opportunities are there. But there's also uneasiness leaving the familiar here. And like the psalmist in this passage, we find ourselves in a time of early spring, sowing, transition, and praying to God for restoration and renewal. There will be moments when the journey feels uncertain, even times when we feel like we're sowing in tears. But we remember the promise from this passage. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Can this move be an opportunity for us, for the whole church, to sow new seeds, to plant new ministries, and to expand our outreach efforts, make new connections to our community? All of this may not happen right away, and there will be adjustments and changes along the way. But let's trust that God is faithful and the harvest that He will bring to us. Let's begin. As we begin to prepare for that transition, let's remember that God is already at work. And then we can say, the Lord has done great things for us. The same God who has been faithful in the past for each of us here and for our church will lead us into hope and joy. So let us continue to pray to God and have hope that this sowing will lead to reaping. And so in Psalm 126, we are reminded that God is at work in every season, whether it's summer of joy or the in-between seasons of waiting and sowing. Fall and spring may feel less than exciting, but the truth is, those seasons are crucial for growth. They are the times when seeds are planted, when we don't immediately see the results. But God is working something below the surface. Jesus is always at work too in this church. And I'm reminded of this passage, these words by the author of the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews 12:2, the author says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Our faith begins in Jesus Christ, and our faith is completed in Jesus Christ. Jesus endured the cross because he knew the joy that is set before him. And lastly, I will conclude my sermon with an artwork that we reflected on from the retreat. This is an artwork created by the guest speaker, Joy Banks, who are with us. In the picture, we see a family working together in a farm together. It is a season of seeds being sown, watered, and nurtured. We see the young child joyfully planting seeds, full of hope for what is to come. There's an older child watering those seeds with patience and faithfulness, even though the harvest is not here yet. And in the background, there's an adult tilling the ground with a heavy heart and in tears, perhaps in this season of sowing with tears. And at the back, there's a farmhouse in the distance. It is filled with light, day and night, offering us a picture of hope, of home, and of the joy and celebration that is to come. And I think this image captures the heart of our psalm today. We are called to sow faithfully, trusting that God will bring the harvest. Like the family in this image, we may find ourselves in different roles in this community, some planting seeds with joy, some caring for what has been planted, and some laboring in difficult seasons. But the promise is that those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. So let us move forward with faith and hope, embracing this season of planting. Let us be like the family in the image, sowing, watering, trusting God for the harvest. And let's continue to pray for guidance and embracing the opportunities wherever God places us. And the promise that God will bring joy will bring us into songs of a celebration. And at the end, I'll read to you a poem Joy led us to create together at the retreat. I invite you to listen carefully as those of us at the retreat reflected on our situation and on this image. Listen. Provision, sovereignty. Are seeds the ultimate goal in life? Pursuit and praise, rest, come home. How can the land rest well? Growth is a mystery. Oh, help me be like that joyous child, happily sharing the word of God. Cultivation, patience, rest and trust. Don't worry about refilling the watering can. Hope, fallow, and renew. Reap with joy, joyful even without fruit, inspiring the next generation, a season of waiting and expectation. Sweat for food, living sacrifice, love, heavenly beauty, and community. Working together with joy, trusting God in whatever circumstances. Blessed be the co-laborers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's continue our service with worship.